Dhamma is whatever appear means anything which is experienced through the sense doors.
So now you know what Dhamma is. Because if we just read the book and follow the book, it's not our own understanding at all. Until we read like one word, Dhamma, what is it, where is it, and when is it? And did Buddha really insight the true nature of what is there or what is here? See, when he was Buddha, he must knew everything which is real. So he taught what he had realized. Are you sure? Sadda, see, clean and clear without attachment, aversion and ignorance about the words, whether it's true or not. Otherwise, it seems like we understand what Dhamma is, but actually, when it's our own understanding, there can be the beginning of paying attention to whatever appears. Because that is not understood at all, what is there which appears. But by learning the teachings and studying carefully of each word, it's our own understanding little by little to know, to come to know or understand the Buddha. Otherwise, we call someone Buddha, but what did he teach about and what did he know or realize? If there is no understanding of the teachings, no one knows him at all. Just call him, thinking about someone unseen, but through the studying of his teachings, there can be the getting little by little to know him, closer and closer. Otherwise, it's like far away, like we are here and where's Buddha, somewhere up so high. So the meaning of upasaka and upasika is the person who getting close, getting nearer and nearer to listen to his teachings, not to the other person. So instead of hearing the others, if that is true word, no matter who says, it's the word of the Buddha, of his teachings. So are you sure that what appears now is no need to say Dhamma or what? It's a reality, it's real because it is seen. If it's not seen now, how can one say that it's real? But since it appears to seeing, it must be real. As seeing is real, so that which is seen is real too. So one begins to understand Dhamma and see that so much to learn to understand whatever appears in one's life. Otherwise, one would just say the word that one doesn't have any understanding at all. Any word, no understanding. Like the world, so many words are spoken in a day, not without understanding. And having studied quite a long time and carefully, one can see that how much ignorance is there at any moment, even right now. Because it's only intellectual understanding, which in the book, but reality is not in the book, anywhere, any moment. So without understanding, ignorance is there. So how can ignorance and attachment and the wrong understanding of reality can be eliminated and finally eradicated completely. Never arise again. It's not just try to do something with a day of self. This might be helpful or something like that. But when it's not right understanding, it cannot condition the moment of understanding now, see. So when Panya develops, it means that there are moments from hearing a lot, consider a lot, that there can be understanding just very little about that which appears. Like now, what is seen. The self with the intention and other chetasikas cannot understand whatever appears now. But the development of understanding, little by little, so very little, because all kilesas are accumulated, not just yesterday to today, but from eons and eons, uncountable. So how can there be such words that can condition moment of understanding directly, instantly? It takes time, quite a long time. So just be sure what appears is a reality. That's not enough. That's why Buddha used the word khanda, because it arises. Otherwise, it cannot be seen. See? And it also falls away. Nothing stays permanently at all. So this is unknown. Dhamma is not known, and khanda is not known. Everything is hidden. And the teaching is just digging up what is hidden, which covers up the truth. It's so thick to just have a little understanding to dig it up, little by little. So strong, so great. That's why for those who have a Vichha and Akusala so much, the best thing is talking about Akusala to be realized that how can it be gone without the teachings? Impossible. And the most difficult thing is it has to be very naturally and in daily life. No matter we talk by terms of vipassanayana, like nama, rupa, parichetayana, we know from reading or talking, discussing that that which experiences is not anyone, but just an element or a tattoo, which is conditioned to arise and perform its function and then fall away. See? But this can be direct understanding. To begin to understand the moment which is aware and moment without awareness. Otherwise, we just talk about awareness, but when it does not arise yet, how can one really get the understanding of that characteristic as what we call awareness? If seeing does not arise, how can there be the understanding of seeing? When awareness does not arise, how can there be the understanding of awareness? So right understanding develops little by little, so very little. But even that can eliminate just a little bit of ignorance. Not as much as one tries so hard for years or months or week to get rid of all kilesa like they used to do or think that there should be time to patipatti. But actually, without right understanding from the very beginning, it's impossible. And it's not patipatti. It's the self who's trying to do something. The wrong makkha and the wrong vimutti, the wrong jhana. And life is so short, and I think that no one can understand each word in Tipitaka, or just little, so very little. But it takes time to read a lot just to understand whatever appears. And right understanding sees that, whether it is that moment or just not that moment, right awareness with right understanding. Like we have heard, upadana khanda. See, forget that each khanda is object of upadana. Any moment. And in order to eradicate the idea of self completely, it has to be panya, which begins to understand little by little of the khandhas, no selection, by conditions. That's why the condition is not known only from book, but the moment, any moment in life, like with our citta, can the hand reach out, see? And awareness is so very natural. So it can understand little patya at any move with awareness. So that when whatever arises, there's no doubt about patya to understand that very moment when that particular reality appears to develop panya. But it needs now to understand whatever one hears about the teachings and realities. See, there can be the understanding of sound which is heard with apatya. It falls away with no understanding like before. What about seeing in Italy? Alberto?
About visible object in Italy as well.
Anywhere. Just arise and falls away.
And thinking too.
With or without understanding, that's all. That's why we hear more and more about seeing, see, at moment of seeing. And visible object is a condition, aramana paccaya, for seeing to arise. And not only aramana paccaya, see. So one can see that even citta is the faculty of experiencing an object, but it needs many conditions for its arising. And it means that all dhammas are not self, uncontrollable. Citta cetasikas arise and fall away, no matter at moment of birth or death, or next life, next moment of life after death. Sangsaravatta, non-stop, when there are calls. And we don't know what next life will be, the most important thing.
When you said, whatever it will be, the next moment, whatever it will be, you don't know what the next life, whatever that will be, what did you mean by that?
What was last life? Do you know your last life? And can you know your future life?
Like even next moment seeing or hearing or what will be seen quite unknown.
So the eye is there. So you like to read more, listen more of the teachings, the Buddha's words, or think in your own way?
Of course I want to follow Buddha.
That's why we said, Buddhang saranang kacchami, Dhammang saranang kacchami, and Sanghang saranang kacchami. Is there any doubt about this phrase? No doubt about Buddhang Saranang Kacchami. What about Dhammang Saranang Kacchami? But Dhamma can be refuge, not Akusala Dhamma. See? So actually, what are those dhammas which can be refuge? While each moment it seems like in the ocean, no island. But there's refuge like island from moment to moment. That's why we have to know what are the Dhamma which are refuge.
Just at moments of understanding, so when there's beginning of understanding, then there's the beginning of refuge, like moments of kusala. Well, it's like a little refuge from our kusala, but only when there's understanding of realities can there be real refuge, because it's the beginning of the end of the round.
Mm. That's why it said that the teachings of the Buddha conditioned the Bodhipakkhya Dhamma, 37. And the Makkha Citta, Pala Citta. To be Sangha Ratana. Sangha Ratana, or
the jewel.
Sankha is a jewel.
Ratana is a jewel. Sankhang saranang kacchami. So what is Sankha?
Sankha.
Puttaratana, another word. Dhammaratana, Sankharatana, or Puttang saranang, Dhammang saranang, Sankhang saranang.
I think when you asked Lan about whether she would like to follow the Buddha's teachings or her own ideas, and of course everyone would say they wish to follow the Buddha's teachings, but maybe some people think, well, other teachers also say they're following the Buddha's teachings but teach some other things, or like if she or they read some suttas and they don't consider their reading in their own way. They consider that they are reading or following the Buddha's teachings, but it may be a different understanding of the Buddha's teachings.
That's why Dhamma discussion is one of the mangala.
Very important.
One of the 38 mangalas.
Without discussion and without raising one's questions or objections, impossible to really sort out one's ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's why we also try to help bring up points, and because no other way, just by thinking on one's own, that one will have one's ideas or misunderstandings clarified.
And this is the development of panya.
When you mentioned the Mangala Sutta being Kunsijam, I remember too that the very first Mangala is Asewana,
right.
Jabala Ananja, to stay away from unlearned people or Yabala. Unknowing.
Mm. And without the teaching, who can know who's foolish and who's not? So each word of the teachings is all about panya, right understanding.
And I don't think it necessarily means literally not having physical contact, but not mentally associating with the foolish ideas. So, for example, one may be working with people or one's family may be such people, so one is spending, so it doesn't mean not spending time with such people, but it means just
attending,
not being influenced by the foolish ideas. Otherwise people think, oh, they should just spend their life only with Dharma friends or something, and that is wrong too. Everything we read in the Dharma comes back to the citta now, rather than the physical circumstance.
Are you alone now?
No.
Are you alone?
Yesterday when I was alone in my room, but I found that I still a lot of thinking there, and then even so I feel that even I'm alone in somewhere, but the mind is not secluded. So
actually we're all alone at each moment, because just alone with a moment of seeing now, a moment of hearing, a moment of thinking, no matter with or without people. Actually, like Ajahn said yesterday, the day before, born alone, die alone, actually even live alone from moment to moment.
So I also saw that Buddha mentioned a lot about secluded, why developing the Noble Eightfold Path or developing any other wholesome. So a wondering came to my mind that is that the secluded means the upati, which is the at the moment of experience through the five sense only, not the later moment, which is already turning into thinking.
Is that the way you try to follow the teachings? Or study and think over it, what it's meant by living alone? Without right understanding, can there be a moment of living alone? So who live alone? All arhatas? No kilesa, to be friends. And not just arahata, because before becoming an arahata, panya develops. So at moment of right awareness with understanding, no one there. But still the idea of self is very deeply rooted. Even such moment, it can condition the understanding little, very little, that no one at moment of being aware, only the reality which appears just then is there. For example, when we talk about hearing, alone there means no one, no friend, no world. The sound appears and the hearing experiences that sound. So this is one world, alone in that world. See, before there can be more and more understanding that there is still thinking and other like feeling or memory which is not alone yet. That's why when it's the object of awareness and it appears just really one at a time without anything else, then one gets closer to what it's meant by living alone. So living alone is not the meaning of just try to live alone without friends or try to be secluded, because without right understanding, no matter where one is, there is kilesa. So one doesn't live alone at that moment. So it's not just follow the word, but the meaning. How can there be that moment like arahata? Or less than that, how can there be moment without anyone else except reality? It's long way and long time and beyond imagination how long. But right understanding sees the right path or the right way, which is very subtle. It has to be this, not other way at all. And satta became clear from ignorance and kilesa with other cetasikas until one has become sattapanna. Satta is so very clear and firm. What about monks? Monks' life? Different from lay life? What is the difference? Like reading this and then one try to live alone.
It's the same even for monks, that the real seclusion is just living alone with understanding, no matter whether with other monks and lay people or alone in the forest. But so the Buddha taught, like in the Migajala Sutta, about living alone with understanding. Otherwise one can be in the forest, but overwhelmed with kilesa. That's not living alone.
I read the Buddha mentioned in the sutta, which is developed the Noble Eightfold Path, secluded without excitement and with hope of ceasing and surrendering with measure. So what is right understanding about
when kusala arise?
Right?
A kusala cannot arise.
Dita is too general.
Can kusala arise with akusala?
Cannot.
So that's what you just read. Read again. Read it again, please.
The Noble Eightfold Path secluded without excitement, with hope of ceasing and surrendering with measure.
When?
It has a certain understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Free of udaccha, another kilesa, calm at that moment too.
We need to remember that development of the Eightfold Path is, that is to say, a moment of awareness or insight, is a momentary thing. So there can be some moments of awareness or insight, and then there may be
periods of no awareness or insight, because that is how understanding develops.
Okay, live alone in secluded place, no words of the Buddha, what's the use?
No discussion, no hearing of suttas.
So by essence or by reality, what is the right understanding about secluded which Buddha taught?
What about living in secluded place with akusala jittas? Is that what Buddha taught?
It may include, but not only that.
Include what?
Include to. To not associate with too much worldly issue, too much things need to do, too much relationship.
So without understanding, can it be such moment?
I think we are misled when we read passages like that because it sounds so peaceful and sublime. And it sounds as though, oh, because he went to secluded place, therefore he is able to develop the Eightfold Path and have more awareness and understanding. But if we read the words carefully, it doesn't actually say that. And the more we understand about awareness and how it's developed, the more we appreciate that only a person who has already developed, whose awareness is already highly developed, could continue to develop awareness in a situation like that. And so for us, we need to ask about or consider how the development of awareness begins, not how it's brought to a conclusion, to enlightenment, the last mile, if you like, but the beginning of the journey. Because we know that when awareness is highly developed, it becomes a faculty. Is that right, Ajahn? Indriya?
Opala. Because yeah. For any moment of satipatthana, satta, sati, viriya, samadhi, and panya is quite different from daily moment of kusala.
So anyone who attains enlightenment, it means that in that lifetime, when they born into that lifetime, awareness and insight had already been very highly developed in previous lives.
And why do you think that going to live in a quiet place or cutting off from entertainment or people or work, why would that help any development of understanding or awareness? Because what is the difference in the realities at those times and the realities at the other time?
I don't say that. About living in somewhere secluded, but I just wanted to ask about, do I understand about secluded?
So before the Buddha's time, people talked about Viveka seclusion, and they talked about it in terms of being in the forest or quiet place. And the Buddha taught that the realities now, seeing visible object, hearing sound, are just the same no matter where one lives, and that the true meaning of Viveka or seclusion is the moment of right understanding. So no matter one is physically in contact with foolish people or wise people at work or at home, what is important is the citta and the mental states. So the real meaning of living alone is right understanding of what appears at this moment, the kusala citta at this moment, and that at the moment of right understanding, when it's known there is just one world, the world of through the eye door or the ear door or through the mind door, when it's understood what the world is just for a moment now, that is what is meant to live alone. But otherwise, no matter where one is, when there is association with kalesa, with attachment, ignorance, aversion, wrong view, no matter the circumstances, there will never ever be any living alone, because no understanding has been developed. So this is what the Buddha taught about the meaning of living alone, and upadi viveka, moments of enlightenment, of really understanding reality, totally eradicating the wrong idea of self, is the highest meaning of living alone. Living alone without the self.
So how about in the Mahasunyata Buddha Sutta, those one who delighting in company or delighting in society, taking delight in company or in society, or devoting himself to delight in company and society, and rejoicing in society, those one will not attain at one and without trouble, without difficulty, and will not bliss, will not have the bliss of renunciation, of peace and of enlightenment.
Because of taking delight, not because of being in society.
Even if one is alone in one's own room, like you mentioned at the beginning, there can be all sorts of thinking about all sorts of nonsense. There can still be taking delight. There can still be, one can still be overwhelmed with dosa. There can still be a lot of ignorance. So the problem always comes back to the kalesa. When there is no kalesa, no matter the circumstance, no problem at all.
What about when you see the benefit of right understanding, no matter where, no one can stop you from thinking, considering the teachings, or reading, or discussing? Oh, not time yet. I have to go somewhere. See, it depends on the understanding. Without panya, can there be living alone? But when you see the importance of panya, no matter where, among people, in the forest, at home, in the hotel, or anywhere, panya comes to your mind, because it's developed to that degree that you see that nothing else is more important than panya. You don't mind where you are. You don't mind whether you're sick or not sick. You don't mind anything at all, only Panya. For you, in your life, it's the most important thing.
I think we can say the same about all kinds of kusala,
right.
Not just...
But yeah. Without panya,
yes.
It's only vivatta. Vatta, not vivatta.
But it's the same idea. People think that to develop any kind of kusala, there needs to be better situation. Than
but there
now.
Must be panya, which understands the value of kusala, yes. All kinds of kusala. Yes.
So with panya, one understands that the development of kusala can take place any time.
Panya will be the leader. Yeah.
Please, just explain the difference between vatta and vivatta.
Yes. According to Patichasamuppada, they are all vatta. Right? So even the high kusala like the arupa jhana is still miccha patipatta. Because it cannot lead out of samsara.
Still building the bricks. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing with David the other day about your comment about no matter one is sick or not sick, because one knows understanding is most important, and we were saying how fortunate when one is sick to have heard the Dharma. Would you like to add anything about your reflections, David? About being sick and remembering about the Dharma.
Well, I think without any understanding or contact with the Dhamma, when sickness comes or malady comes, that a person is feeling like my body is so bad and this is such a terrible thing which is happening to me, and there's a lot of mental struggle that goes along with the physical problems. And if one has some understanding of Dhamma, it is not the same as no understanding, because one understands that this is just elements arising and passing away, that it doesn't last, that it's not me, and even with the smallest amount of understanding, that's extremely helpful in those times. Otherwise you're just lost with feeling and self and all that goes along with that.
Some of our friends have cancer, the bone cancer, see. But she is so very happy with Dhamma. I doubt who can be such patient, endure with such situation. Mm-hmm. But Dhamma can help.
Yeah. Yeah. The best medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in these conditions, when there's some understanding of Dhamma, you know that you can't change this. This is just life. It's just something that's there now. And it's also... when a person suffers a lot of pain or a lot of discomfort, and sometimes it seems like this is continuous, it's all the time. But actually it isn't, because they're seeing and all the other senses functioning at the same time, and one can understand that this, you know, this painful bodily feeling which is arising, it's also passing away. And in some way, it makes it more bearable, more more in that one knows that it's not something permanent, it's not something to be endured forever. It's just arising, passing away.
And just some moments of akusala vipaka.
Yes, that's right.
In this life, so much, or so many to come later.
Yes.
And one can see that the greatest problem is all the dosa on account of it, because of the strong attachment to one's body.
That's right.
Appreciating that there are moments of akusala vipaka, nothing unfair about it. And that's just a moment, and but the dosa lasts for so long.
For a long time.
So it helps a lot to see what the problem really is.
And actually, to understand that it's akusala vipaka, and that it's time for its arising and passing away, and it'll never come back. There won't be any more. There certainly would be more akusala vipaka to come, but that particular vipaka is finished.
It can be a moment for kusala citta. And what about those who do not yet have such sickness? Why can't they bear the pleasant things or unpleasant things in life? See?
Like you used to say to us, well, if one can't pass the small tests in life, how will one cope when it's the big test? So if one can't bear the small discomforts or difficulties, what about when it's really a big one? Patience has to be developed any time.
Maybe you need the more severe lesson.
Can you say some more? Severe lesson.
Like David just had a severe lesson,
or the friend with bone cancer is having a severe lesson. And it can be much worse, it can be much harder, it can be life in hell realm.
Actually, we also can learn the lessons from other problems, Ajahn. Then may reflect that may happen to me at any time.
For example?
Let's say if I see David's pain or trouble or difficulties or some problems, then I may learn through that. Even if it does not happen to me, but...
Not like when it happens to you. At all.
Even as the Buddha said, that old age, sickness, and death often come together. Not always, but... The truth is that any moment we can receive akusala vipaka. We might feel healthy and happy and what have you, but that doesn't mean that this afternoon or tomorrow or tonight something can't happen. And then there you are with akusala vipaka, very strong, very...
unexpected.
Very unexpected and very difficult. And I think that as one ages, there's more expectation of difficulty. And when one is young and healthy, there really isn't that expectation that will occur. It's almost like one is, free of any danger. But the danger can arise due to conditions any moment, and in there you can't escape the reality of what's there.
Also, seeing vipaka not from a self perspective, because it's not really karma that you did in this lifetime, so it wasn't you doing the karma. Also, I think also helps seeing the the silliness of the self, because there's no real self that can control anything, because, well, how can you control what something that wasn't you, that haven't done?
Well, actually, it isn't that it's something you haven't done.
Not you as a self, I mean.
It's the karma that's been done, been committed in the past.
No
self ever does that. And so that's just an illusion. So when it's time to receive vipaka, akusala vipaka in that way, if one understands that this is just, it's time. It's like, it's bearing fruit. It's not about me. This is something that time for.
You might think it's David that receive the result of past karma, but the karma wasn't done by David.
It was done by Joe or Betty or
why
whoever.
Not? Why not? But
and all, you know.
It's never David.
Well, I know that. I understand that it's never David.
But who, then?
Intention.
Yeah, who?
Give him the record.
Chaitanya.
Mr. Chaitanya.
Yeah. Sukhin's Chaitanya? Condition?
No.
No. See? So it has to be.
So it was David. Even that life, it's David then. It's
the past?
Yeah.
And one know that no more David. But once, it's David. Just once.
Those accumulated
in chitta and
what's David?
Realities. But we have to use term. Otherwise, we have to say five khandhas in years ago. See? So very difficult to understand. But if we use the conventional word, once, who, if it's not he, then it's very difficult to explain.
Can we say
that? I can't explain about Sukhin and what, you know, the things that was experienced by the Chitta Chetasika, that Sukhin.
I can't explain about Sukhin.
You can't?
No.
Well, you do sometimes.
That's conventional. I mean, even if you explain about David,
conventional
I can explain about Sukhin. It would be just some conventional referent, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because in reality, there's no David, no Sukhin,
right? And no convention.
But the question, the real question is:
do we know that? There is no David, no Sukhin. Yeah.
Not certainly not enough, and not not many times. But there can be moments of understanding that, and when the time comes, those moments are very valuable. And I mean, the time is now, isn't it? Really, it's not. Yeah, it's not in the future or whenever, but. There can be moments of understanding. But without any studying of Dhamma or listening to Dhamma, there won't be.
Can it be the time to see the danger of akusala, that it's much more than pain, the bodily pain? Because it can be cured, but what can cure the kilesa? Any time can be moment of panya to understand reality. The danger of kilesa, akusala, and life, samsara, vata. So each moment of kusala comes from good friend, the Buddha himself. Keep on going with us all the time. Keep company with us. Good friend.
even when Panya develops to any degree, it needs more words and more words to see the very subtle attachment and I, the wrong idea of self.
Like even when we, like now, when we talk about, for example, a stream of cheetahs that for convenience we call David's from past lives, or, well, one can talk about it with an idea of self or someone or without, I think. It's, as you say, it's subtle. Some people don't even like to have the word stream or anything used because they think it suggests an idea of self, but it just depends when one uses such words as David's consciousness or not.
So, good friend is
the teachings.
Is the understanding of the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Panya without the teachings. The teachings is also good friend.
Without the teachings, what can condition Panya? That's why we can say Buddhang saranang kacchami, Dhammang saranang kacchami, in order to become Sanghang saranang kacchami, member of the Sangha.
But it's like yesterday we were talking about when it mentions about result of past kusala karma to hear the teachings, and hearing the teachings means not just hearing the sounds, but the understanding on account of what is heard, because just hearing the sounds without any understanding is useless. So in the same way, the teachings, if there's no wise considering, doesn't bring any benefit at all. So when it refers to the teachings, even if there's no understanding, that it's meant.
That's why our paramis are necessary. Like satya, to be truthful.
Do you know what's right?
Mm-hmm. Because many people say that they read Tipitaka, but they have wrong understanding.
So then, if they just read with wrong understanding, which leads to just the wrong path, then there's no benefit in those teachings at all.
They underestimate the teaching that it's so very easy. Not necessary to think over or to consider with respect. Just read and think that Buddha said this, this, this. Like secluded place and be alone, being alone.
Avoiding entertainment or foolish people or something, everything one has to consider carefully. One of our friends often writes that for this person there's a tendency to do bad deeds. And he writes that some of our Dharma friends, like some of us here, don't have conditions to do bad deeds. So we don't really understand what it means to be driven to do bad deeds. Well, of course, even the Buddha isn't driven to do bad deeds. But his comment, and it's made several times, is that because, of course, for all of us there's a lot of akusala, but not, you know, we're not killing or stealing or harming others often in a day. So he thinks that we don't really understand what it's like for people like him who do bad deeds.
Do you have any conditions?
By conditions.
Yeah. Each but, moment.
But it's a bit like the comment about if one
hasn't really had severe sickness, one doesn't quite have the same understanding. Can one say that even if some people, for example, like yourself, who have a lot of understanding, if you don't actually do bad deeds, you cannot understand what it's like for people who do bad
conditions.
Deeds?
In terms of element, it's so very, very intricate. Because we talk about Sankara Khanda, not just one reality is sankhara kanda, many, 50 chetasikas. And how intricate it is conditioned to arise in a moment. And such moment condition the next moment, sankhara. See, we don't know, no expectation which one will be conditioned by what moment before.
So for anyone, it's like we don't know what vipaka will bring. We have no idea what intricate conditions will lead to from moment to moment. But the point that I've often stressed is actually it's not the akusala that understands others' akusala. It's when there's actually more understanding, there is more understanding of how intricate dharmas are and how it can be this way and how it is anatta. So in a way there's more sympathy, or one is more of an understanding person because one knows that it's by conditions, it's not someone who's doing such deeds.
And even as this person has said, others couldn't understand what it's like to have a kusala
of that degree.
Even in sickness, there's many moments of a kusala that arise due to the conditions. It's not...
like usual?
like usual, but perhaps not as bad as
it can be. You just think about sickness, but what about when there is no sickness? Yeah, as usual.
As usual.
I want to have a nice footrest now.
Good.
Lucky one.
Like that strong akusala is a prerequisite for understanding.
For understanding akusala.
Which seems very strange.
So how would you, Sandra, how would you answer that if someone says to you, oh, we don't understand what it's like to do bad deeds because we don't have such strong akusala? How would you respond?
Strong idea of self, I'm hearing. But it's like saying you need another year. I said before, it sounds like the prerequisite for getting understanding is you need to do more akusala. And that's really weird.
No, I would say, so good for you. You get to see the strong akusala, and we don't, you know. Now, of course, I have a lot of akusala. But I think, I don't know what's the whole idea behind this, but I'm guessing that he brings this up because he's trying to justify doing something about it, right? Yeah.
Taking some special action.
Yeah, yeah. So it's attachment to certain results and not seeing the value of just understanding the moment.
I think it's like saying, well, it's all very well for us to talk about
parami and patience, kanti parami and satcha parami and just developing understanding in daily life, but we don't understand what it's like to have such strong kalesa, and in those circumstances, something else is called for. So a little bit like the comments that others
what
made.
What about lopa? How can you know what other what other?
Yeah.
What about
Kuswa
people have?
Yeah, what about lopa? It's harder to see than dosa. So, you know, that's more dangerous in a way.
Yeah, there are just always dhammas appearing, and sounds like, yeah, again, you're saying some are more beneficial than others, which is not, yeah, that's wrong view. I suppose one of the questions that's often on the back of my mind, Kunsujin, is the difference between nama and rupa. Now, and I am trying to think about this, but I feel it's helpful for me to try to understand. At the moment of seeing, there is the experience of visual object. What I often have difficulty with intellectually is really the difference between nama and rupa, and how panya can know them better and their distinction. And I'd like you to speak a little bit more on that theme.
If you try to think about the mental reality like the phenomena, like the materiality, it's impossible. No shape, no form at all. But what appears, see, without that, which sees it, can it appear? So just know little by little about it. If the self is trying so hard to get the understanding from the very beginning of learning to hear the teachings, it's impossible. It is like this until Panya develops, even to high degree. Vichikicca is there. See? Because vichikicca can be eliminated gradually only by the development of understanding without the idea of self. When the self is there, it's like one is blind. The more the self is trying, the more there's doubt. Let it be when there is more understanding by conditions, then it can condition moment of understanding it. That's why it needs patience to be parami. And patience here is not patience to bear the sickness or anything, to develop right understanding naturally. So the path is not easy, so very deep. All four noble truths are deep. So it's not like being aware and being aware, that's not the path at all.
It's because there's no understanding that people talk about being aware. Because if there's understanding, then one would see the importance of understanding what awareness is, mm-hmm. not just having it.
Ajahn, is there any unification, taking understanding as all other wholesome? Taking understanding as all other parami or factors of noble eightfold path means that it seems that like having understanding then we have all.
Do we have to count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
But also the question,
I think, concerns the separate development of different factors, is that right, Lan? You're wondering whether other factors of the Eightfold Path need to be developed separately.
And also fulfill other paramis.
So what's the use of having virya without understanding?
Understanding is necessary, but it's not all, and it's the other. I think other paramis or other fighters in the noble eightfold path has its own independence.
So let's take the second factor of the eightfold path.
Sama Sankapa, which mental factor is that? Vitaka. So we talked yesterday about how vitaka arises with every citta, almost every citta, after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So like while we wash the dishes, while we get up, while we perform any function in life, there is vitaka chetasika arising at almost every moment. So what does it mean to develop vitaka without understanding, or separately from understanding? What does that mean? How would you like to develop vitaka? Or how can it develop? Because there's vitaka with every moment of akusala as well as kusala. So what does it mean to talk about the development of vitaka without understanding?
So that's what I want to ask.
So does it make any sense?
So is understand own wholesome?
So there are only two kinds of development of wholesome factors, development of samatha and development of vipassana. So when we talk about the development of the path, it's development of samatha and vipassana together. But any kind of development, whether it's development of samatha or vipassana, has to be with right understanding. Without understanding, no development at all. How will it even be known what vitaka or virya or sati or any of these other factors are without understanding? Nothing known about them.
Of course, it's from the beginning. It and all the time, it needs to have a right understanding together. But is that all?
What else would you like?
I don't know. That's why I want to ask.
So all the path, the right understanding is the leader of the path. So all factors develop with right understanding by understanding more about what is real now. When there is right understanding of what appears now, visible object, at that moment there is right effort, there is right vitaka, there is right sati, there is right concentration. But without understanding, if someone just develops concentration, it's micha concentration, micha samadhi.
But of course, we start or we are on the way to develop right understanding. We haven't had complete understanding, so only after developing enough or complete understanding, then only then the others will follow, or only after developing complete understanding, then after that we develop others.
So should we follow a practice of concentration, and then when understanding has developed, drop the practice and let it arise naturally? Is this what you mean? Because right from the very beginning, the path from the beginning is the same as the path that's developed. So right from the beginning, there has to be the beginning of understanding of reality, and the other factors develop together with it. So it's not like self do something and then when understanding develops, no need. Right from the beginning, there has to be the understanding of dhammas as anatta. Otherwise, it's wrong path at the beginning, which leads to greater wrong path at the end, just wrong all the way.
Let's say at the current conditions, then there is some certain understanding which is enable to do some certain kinds of good deeds, but not viriya, but not yet enough understanding to abandon or to relinquish. So what? Until have enough understanding at the level of relinquishment, and only that someone abandon.
When there is a moment of kusala, then at that moment the akusala is abandoned, left behind. And that will always be the case, because only at stages of enlightenment is there eradication. So even at the early stages of enlightenment, there are still other forms of kusala arising. So awareness develops moment by moment. When there's not awareness, there's akusala. That's the way it is. That's the way it will always be until final enlightenment. So it's like that for the sotapanna too.
And when you say, so what, that's the answer. So what? So if the conditions for akusala now that one doesn't like, that's what there are conditions for. So it's like saying, it's like our friend's comments, like that suggest if there is some bad behavior now, then we better find some shortcut, because the way of understanding takes too long and there isn't enough patience. But that's just the clinging to self that is speaking, wanting to do something, make it different, rather than just understand with detachment what appears now.
But excuse me, did you say something about understanding complete in the beginning?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
To attain.
In the beginning, what did you say? Please repeat.
To enlighten.
To become enlightened. Understanding not complete means not yet enlightened.
So I think what she said was that when understanding is completed, meaning when one is enlightened, then it's the other path factors arise together with understanding. But in the beginning, when there's a lot of bad akusala, it doesn't seem like that. Something along those lines, is that right?
Not taking consideration of other things, and which to her it sounds like what we're saying is that the others' path factors will develop after there's enough understanding.
I think both things.
So what do you mean?
Are you saying that there can be right concentration only after panya has developed?
It's completed the way she said.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I asked.
So what do you mean by when panya is completed?
Like
when panya is sufficient or when one has attained enlightenment?
She means when enlightened.
Not yet, in the beginning.
Mm.
I think that the condition for right awareness and right understanding at level of satipatthana, or what level? When you say when panya is completed, that's what you say. What do you mean by that? In what sense? Maybe panya is sufficient to condition right awareness. Is that what you mean?
Sufficient. Enough.
To condition right awareness.
What do you mean by completed?
Previously I said when I have enough understanding at some certain level and all complete understanding means
to all complete understanding. So she's saying that when there is
enough understanding or when one is enlightened, that's or when one is enlightened, then the other factors develop.
After enlightenment? After enlightenment or what?
That's what she said. It's the time before
enlightenment.
Because enlightenment only
achieve when already have enough all the factors, right?
So, would you like to rephrase your question?
Okay, I asked that is there any, I'm not sure if I use the right English, that is there any unification taking right understanding as all other other factors of Noble Eightfold Path, or taking understanding as all other paramis or all other wholesomes.
What do you mean here by unification?
Taking the understanding at other paramis or other wholesomes.
Asking if when there is panya, that whether this includes the other factors.
Yeah, include when once have understanding, then we have all other will follow.
Will follow. So either includes at the time or allows them to follow afterwards.
Can I say it again?
Is this because of an idea that some people have of the path as being like steps, the factors as steps, so right understanding leads to this factor, leads to that factor, rather than understanding the factors all arise together and develop together? Do you appreciate that all the factors of the Eightfold Path, they all arise together? So the other factors like right concentration, right awareness and so on, they arise together with right understanding and develop together. Is that your understanding?
Of course it will take time to develop each factor gradually until the moment of developing all the factors.
Do they develop together with right understanding or separately?
It may or may not.
Just a slight aside here, but sort of seems to be part of the question, I think. Tell me, Kuntijan, is samma jiva, samma kamanta, samma kamanto, are they...
Samma ajiva.
Ajiva, you mean. The three Vritti, are they all, when you're developing understanding, are they developed, do they get stronger and stronger each time? No, only at Mangya and Pala.
When it arises, just one at a time before the enlightened moment.
So there are always five factors arising together,
and maybe six if one of them arises.
So, getting back, excuse me, sorry if I seem to have jumped in here, Lan. What you seem to be saying, as I understand it, is that, you know, there's a kind of separateness. You know, you develop one and then you develop the other one and you develop the other one. But I think what Khunsa Jin is saying is that, and many others, is that understanding is like, that's the powerful one. You know, that's the driver of them all when there is punya. It drives everything else. And the other ones sort of take care of, they follow naturally by themselves. Does that make any sense?
I think by accumulations and then there is easier or potentially develop one or some particular factors or paramis, while others may have some other particular, may find it easier or more potential to develop some other particular factors or paramis.
Shall we say what's parami? First of all, otherwise we think that parami is something that should be developed from one life to another life. This life dana, the other life virya, and something like that. But actually, what is parami? Without panya, can it be parami? Because parami is the other bank of ocean or river. We are on this side of kilesa. In order to have no kilesa, the other side of the river, it needs what? Panya, the most important factor. Without panya, all the others cannot be parami at all. Dana, anyone can have dana without parami. Only those who can understand that citta has accumulated lots of kilesa, that it's not easy at all to eliminate at once. It takes life or eon and years lives to have kilesa get little by little. Decreased. It's not that now we have less kilesa, right? Because at moment of seeing, ignorance follow, attachment follow. So how can there be such way to have less and less attachment without right understanding? So no matter it's sila or dana, without right understanding, it's not parami. Many people, not in Thailand, all over the world, can have such kusala deeds, which is not parami. So what is parami? Those who do not see the value of the teachings of the Buddha, that he can condition moment which can have less ignorance only, can see that the panya is real and it can be parami to purify citta, the dirty citta. So without parami, the other factors cannot be. Without right understanding, the other factor like vitaka cannot be parami. Viriya cannot be parami by itself.
Pandya sees the value of these different kinds of
the danger of akusala.
See the danger of akusala and the value of these kusala.
Mm-hmm.
And also that the only way that these kusala can develop is by understanding them.
To have less akusala, ignorance.
To have
because
less ignorance,
if,
right.
If there's still ignorance, there must be akusala.
Right. So that's why we need pandya, because mm-hmm. without pandya, it's just kusala without seeing the danger of ignorance.
Nothing can eliminate ignorance at all.
Okay.
Without pandya. And can pandya arise alone?
Impossible.
Whenever there is panya, is there vitaka as well? And is there viriya as well? And is there sati and samadhi as well? No need to separate or try to separate the development of the factors, the Eightfold Path factors.
Just in case you're not understanding, when we talk, when there's a moment of awareness with panya, it's a kusala jitta, and other mental factors arise with the jitta, right?
Yes.
Must be viriya, must be vitaka also, right?
Yes.
So the viriya that arises at that moment, accompanying the kusala jitta with panya, that is viriya of the Eightfold Path. And the vitaka that arises at that moment is samavayama, samasankapa of the Eightfold Path. So they're all developed together.
Is that even the... sometimes they can arise altogether, but not yet reach the level of enlightenment?
Well, of course not. They arise together according to the level of panya that's been developed. So at beginning levels, they are weak. They're all weak.
And they all reach enlightenment level
together. There cannot be, they cannot have viriya that's reached enlightenment level and not sati, for example. They all, at moment of margacitta, they all experience nibbana together. So they all reach that level together.
So you said they may arise all together, but very weak. So is that only right understanding to pull it up to be stronger,
right now?
Well, as we know, kusala accumulates. That's how it's developed. So when there are more and more moments of kusala jitta accompanied by panya, then awareness and understanding is being developed, and so are the other path factors. We don't need to think about them separately, but they all perform a function.
Because if other factors also can pull the whole group up to be stronger.
No one's talking about pulling things up. They just develop naturally. Just like if there is dana, now it accumulates. It develops. If there is sila, it accumulates, it develops. If there is understanding, it accumulates, it develops, and along with the other path factors. There is ekagata cetasika with each moment of kusala jitta that is accompanied by panya when there is awareness. So that is samasamadhi, the path factor, and it develops.
So, I As I pulled it up in the normal saying to understand that when one of other factor, one of any those factor develop more, then it's down and the whole group when we develop more.
Why Ajahn says that the leader is Panya, that's in the text too, because it's Panya that's developing and the others develop accordingly.
Of course it's the leading, but it's not only one, it's separately. Buddha also taught the way to develop viriya, which is the four right effort, develop samadhi by its way.
He was explaining its function, not teaching a way to develop. If you have a look at it, he's just describing the four functions of virya. The person with virya, he is maintaining arisen kusala, or he is causing unarisen kusala to arise, and so on. That is the description of the person with sama vayama.
So no way to develop?
Yes. Develop when there is panya.
Develop when there is awareness.
So how when it does each function?
It functions like the Buddha described.
So how does it function more and more properly, more and more better.
It develops along with panya.
The very first thing that is important for understanding to develop is straightening views. Like now, we're discussing about dharmas or the nature of panya as anatta, not anyone that can do anything. Because while there's still the idea of being able to do something or follow more concentration or make more effort, for example, then no opportunity for panya or any of the factors to develop. But by discussing now and understanding more about what panya really is and what are the objects of panya, this is the way that panya can naturally develop without any interference by any idea of self doing anything. And if someone thinks, for example, that they can develop strong concentration separately and that will help pull up the other factors, then for sure it's wrong concentration. And the same with effort. If they think that by developing strong energy or strong effort, and this will help understanding, this is wrong effort because it's all with the idea of self.
In the beginning, as Dawson was saying, panya will be weak. Sammaditti, which is another way of saying panya, will be weak. So there is an opportunity now to develop sammasati, sammavayama, or all the other ones. They always work together. It's not one, they're not separate. They're always together, always. They just stay together. They're good friends. They always stay together and work together.
And it's not like the panya will be higher than the other factors. They're all as in accordance to that level. If it's pariyati, understanding, then it'll be sammavayama of that same level. If it's direct understanding, it'll be of that level. And I think you are mixing the path, the Eightfold Path, and the development of the Bharami.
No, I don't.
You're not? Okay.
Oh, let me think about
that. There is a simile about developing panya. Says it's like the wearing off of the knife handle.
That's the way it develops. You don't, you cannot say one next day, take the knife and say, yeah, I so the, you know the knife handle? The,
yeah.
It wears off by the, by its use. So by arising, it develops. But it's not something that you can notice and say, I'm developing it. Like you can say that the knife handle is, it's wearing off. Because you won't notice it.
So how about the
different accumulation? Which is some factor maybe stronger or weaker with different people?
Does it matter?
So,
can you give an example of... For someone who has more sati, someone who has more...
Well, there are examples given of, for example, the sadhana sarin, the one that has a lot of confidence and attains enlightenment, but they all have to develop the right understanding, but it's true there are different accumulations, or the one who has... No, or the one who has attained jhana first or whatever. So there are different accumulations, but for the path, there's only one way with the development of understanding, no matter what the accumulations are.
Of course, on Dhamma has a general nature, which is the non-self, impermanence and suffering, but... each Dhamma has its own bhava and its own characteristic or function.
And each Dhamma is impersonal element that arises by conditions and performs that function.
And that's why Panya needs sati and virya and samadhi. Because Panya cannot perform the functions that these Dhammas perform.
At what level, Kunsajan, would you say that Panya becomes Panindriya?
When awareness, right awareness arises.
At that level?
Even there's Panya right now, it's not Panindriya yet. Because it's just thinking about reality and the truth of reality, but not at the moment when it arises with awareness of reality. So when we use the word, the development of right understanding, right? What does it mean? Who develops? Or the development of right understanding?
It develops.
And yeah. Panya develops by arising more often by conditions. No one there. Is there virya now? Is there panya now?
May not.
And sati now?
May not.
And samadhi now?
Definitely.
See? And vitaka, see, not developed to that degree that it can arise with panya at moment of direct awareness.
Jonathan just before reminded me that he was talking about samma samadhi, and he talked about ekaggata chetasika, which literally means gone to oneness, and there is going to one object every moment. There is a going to oneness. There is samadhi in a sense every moment, but it doesn't mean that it's samma samadhi, but there is samadhi
every moment.
There's always samadhi. It's one of the
universal
chetasik sabba chittat sadharana.
Every moment there is ekagata there, but how can say that every moment there is samma samadhi there?
Not samma samadhi.
No, I didn't say that. Just slowly, I said that there is samadhi, chetasika, or ekaggata. Ekaggata and samadhi are the same word. Ekaggata means literally gone to oneness. In samadhi, you can say it bears itself well, but it's the same thing. But
same but different level or different. No,
it's the same thing.
So,
well, it's the same word in a way. It's the same word in a way, but you will have different levels of it with development of panya.
No, you.
Yes, of course, no, me.